first time I read through the Gospels, the biblical books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, I was struck by the many times that a phrase began and Jesus had compassion. The Latin meaning for compassion is co-suffering or to have passion with. In Greek, spagnesomai means to show mercy, to love, to show pity. And it's literally a physical response that you see when another person is hurting. The Revised English Bible translates that word as Jesus was deeply moved, or his heart went out to them. Compassion is at the very center of the healing ministry of Jesus, because Jesus carries such a deep need to care for the people around him. The biblical writers capture just a few moments in Jesus' life as he dwelt among us, where it shows the compassion that he had for particular people, whether it's physical, emotional, or spiritual. Matthew tells us that as he's going around preaching the good news of the kingdom, he's busy curing people and healing every kind of disease. When he sees the crowds, it is said that he has compassion on them, for they are like sheep without a shepherd. So he responds to that by teaching truth, discipling and inviting followers, and healing hurts. And all of that flows out of Jesus' love for the people. One day, when the crowds had stayed too long, Jesus calls his disciples to him, and he tells them that he has compassion on the people because he's so worried about them. He knows they've been with him. They've been there for 3 days. If they brought food, they've probably eaten it up. And he says, I don't want to send them away hungry because they might faint on the way. His heart went out to people whose hearts were broken, those that grieved, the widow whose son dies. He has compassion for her, the Bible says. He tells her, do not weep, and then he raises her son to life. He wept with those who wept. He has compassion on the outcast. And if you were living in Israel in that time, there were certain people that were outcasts. Matthew was an outcast, and perhaps that's why he's so good at reminding us of that. There are none more separated from community, though, than a person that had leprosy. Like people that had AIDS in the 80s and 90s, or SARS in the 2000s, or Ebola today, a person with leprosy was so feared that they had to shout out and warn people that they were coming because of the fear of the disease so others can get out of their way. And yet Jesus, the Bible tells us, was moved with tender compassion. He reaches out and he touches the skin of the leper. The thing about Jesus is he never asked how a person got into that situation or who they were associated with that they might have gotten sick. He doesn't ask if a person deserves his love and care. He doesn't question what a person might have done to cause the blindness or the accident or the crippling condition. He does not judge the sick for being sick, the poor for being poor, or reject the wealthy because they have other health care options. He simply shows compassion. Like Colonel Sanders, and I'm sure recognize his picture, was on an airplane one time, and there was this baby that was crying. And the baby, no matter how much the mother did or how much the flight attendant did, just could not settle down. And the baby was crying, crying, and crying. Well, Colonel Sanders apparently had quite a touch with babies. And he asked if he could just hold the baby for a little bit. And Colonel Sanders had this ability to just rock that little child to sleep in his arms. Afterwards, one of the passengers came by and said to him, oh, we so appreciate what you did for us today. But he looked her in the eye and said, I didn't do it for us. I did it for the baby. The point of Jesus' compassion is to alleviate suffering, to heal a hurt. And through the parables, Jesus taught compassion. In the parable of the Good Samaritan, he tells the story of a man who was beaten and robbed as he was walking along a road one day on a journey. Many people pass him by. And yet there is this Samaritan man who stops for a Jewish person in need. And to know the Samaritans and the Jewish people did not talk to each other, they didn't associate with each other, but the Samaritan man sees past his politics, his prejudices, the cultural and ethnic differences between them. He sees past his religious bias and that long history of alienation between Jews and Samaritans. He simply sees the compelling need in front of him. At the sight of the battered and beaten man, he stops. He changes his plans. And he does everything he can do to help this man. And Jesus says of him that the man was moved by compassion. In the story of the prodigal son, Jesus refers to the compassion of the father as his troubled son returns home after many years away. And the father, in seeing his son, races off to meet him because Jesus said he was filled with compassion. And he ran and he put his arms around his son. Jesus said to us that God is like that father. See, Jesus both lived compassion and he taught it. Again and again, Jesus lifted up the needs of the poor and the sick. He wanted people to know the importance of being a just and compassionate people. Compassion, the compassion and mercy of God is meant to draw us into being compassionate ourselves, sharing the same love and care that we've received with other people. And it will always be at the center of healing. And you know that. I don't know if you've ever been to a doctor that didn't seem to care for you or care about you, but I've certainly had some doctors like that. If you go to a doctor that just is there for their 15 minutes and they're going to give you a diagnosis, but maybe they don't really care about you, you know that. But if you go to a doctor that's compassionate and caring, you recognize that too, and you listen better, you hear better, you pay more attention to what they're telling you. Henry Nouwen says that compassion asks us to go where it hurts, to enter into the places of pain, to share in brokenness, fear, confusion, and anguish. Compassion challenges us to cry out with those in misery, to mourn with those that are lonely, and to weep with those in tears. And people are drawn to compassion. Those who were outcasts, hungry, lonely, sick, grieving, or lost were embraced by Jesus. And they brought their friends. They wanted their friends to experience the same compassionate Jesus that they knew. Matthew tells us that as the crowds came, they were bringing their friends with them. They were bringing the lame, the maimed, the blind, the mute, and probably the spiritually troubled as well. And they put these people at the feet of Jesus. See, it's like the compassion of Jesus gives us a lens through which we can see the world. There is an All in the Family episode where Edith and Archie are talking. They are at a class reunion. If you don't recognize that, it's because you weren't born when that was on. They are at this class reunion, and Edith is just having a great conversation with Buck. Now, when Buck was growing up and her classmate, he was just a young, athletic man, and all the girls were in love with him. Well, the years have not been kind to Buck. He has gained weight. He no longer looks the attractive self he was back then. But it doesn't matter to Edith. She is simply enjoying the conversation. And later, when Edith and Archie are talking, she says to him in her voice, she says, "You know, Archie, ain't Buck a beautiful person?" But Archie looks at her with disgust in his face, and he says to her, "You're a dingbat, Edith. You know that? You and I look at the same guy, and you see a beautiful person, and I see a blimp." And Edith gets this puzzled look on her face, and she says, "Yeah, ain't it too bad?" See, I think with compassion, we see a person the way that God sees that person, and our hearts ache the way God aches for the world's hurting. Through the lens of compassion, we look past mistakes and bad choices. We look at the outward situation, and we see it differently. We begin to understand what makes that person respond to life the way they do. Through the lens of compassion, we look at situations from the deeply personal ones we are all involved in to the global. And we look in Jesus sorts of ways. We are challenged to love deeply, to love past our prejudices and our biases, to be more loving in our following of Jesus. And according to Jesus, our help and our love is to be as wide as God's is, as practical as meeting basic needs, as simple as caring about people that we are in contact with. Philip Yancey, in his book Vanishing Grace, tells the story of a friend who worked as a consultant. And this friend said to him one day, he said, I had taken so many management courses, but not a single one ever focused on how to be a loving manager. And yet this was the most important command of Jesus. And so he developed a course himself. Yancey went to that course, and one of the questions that each person was asked was to focus on this question: when have you felt loved? Well, Yancey came up with his list of times that he had felt loved by those that he worked with. He said, when someone listens to me attentively, when someone makes me feel important or encourages me and sometimes even challenges me, when a person cares for me when I'm hurting or gives me an unexpected gift. And then Yancey's friend went on to talk about the way he was coaching people with this same way of asking them to think about what it means to love the employees in their workplace as manager, how to love people. There was a female executive that worked in a very dysfunctional organization. And she decided she would put the practices and principles she was learning to work in the workplace. The thing of it was that in her company, they were discouraged from ever really developing relationships with anyone under her. As executive, that meant she should associate with executives, but not with the managers that were underneath of her. She decided that she would challenge that, and she decided what she would do is to get to know the people she worked with better. She later would say that the first person that she stopped to visit was a man that, when he saw her walk through the door of his office, was terrified because she had never done that before. And it occurred to him that the only reason she could possibly be there was to fire him. And then she had to explain to him, and she said, no, we've worked together for 3 years, and I think it's time I got to know you. She did that with all of the managers that were underneath of her. And then one day her boss called her into his office, and he said to her, I don't know what you are doing, but this company was going bankrupt. And I started to ask people what was making the difference, and they all said that you were responsible. And what happened was, she simply, in getting to know people, she saw them in a different way. They weren't simply her employees, but people like her. There are people with needs, worries, anxieties, bad days and good days, just like she had. There are people she came to love and to care about. She connected to them on a level of the heart, and they felt valued and loved by her. I learned compassion from the faith community that I was a part of. As a young woman and newly divorced, and suddenly single parenting, it was a difficult time. And I kept being surprised by the goodness of people in that church. There was the woman that stopped by my home one night, and she with bags of groceries in her arms, and she would never know how much I needed that gift at that moment, because I was looking at my checkbook wondering how I was going to get food in the house and pay my rent that month. There were the cards that would come. They would be signed from a friend. I never knew who sent them. And there would be gift cards for McDonald's or $30. And $30 went a lot further than did back then. There were people, a group of people in the church put together a plan to help me subsidize my rent for the first year that I was on my own. And when my car fell apart, they were there to help me get a different one. There was a man in a Bible study I attended, and he had even more children than I did, which was something, because I have 7. And he asked his young adult children that rather than giving him a gift that year, that they would take the money they planned to put into a gift for him and give it to me instead so that I could buy gifts for my children. And he did that 4 years running. And then when I started seminary, someone I hardly knew turned to me on a Sunday morning and asked if I still needed a job. And I desperately needed a job that would work with the seminary schedule. And he had the perfect one for me. Along the way, people stopped and asked how I was. They checked in with me. They showed their care in more ways than I can name. My vision of the church as the body of Christ was shaped and formed at that time in my life. As I experienced grace and compassion, I saw the church as a compassionate community where people take time to care for one another, one that looks for the best, assumes the best intent in each other, however often we might stumble on our way. I saw the church as a community that looks outside itself, seeing the world through the lens of Jesus' compassion, and saw the world's people, each of equal value and each of equal worth, each a child of God. Jesus came and lived among us. He healed hurts. He responded to suffering with compassion. He found space for the hungry, lonely, lost, and grieving, and outcast. He understood the anguish of rejection. He welcomed strangers and he invited them to follow him. He told his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. And then he sent them out to share the good news, to invite people into the kingdom of God, to heal hurts, and to spread compassion. He asks us to continue the work of binding up the wounds of a broken world. Let us pray. Our gracious God, you have showered compassion upon us. When we pause to think about the blessings that are ours, we are amazed at the goodness and mercy you have shown us. We give thanks for all the loving people in our life, the people who have given and cared for us and shown us compassion. We'd ask, O Lord, that you would grow in us that gift of compassion day by day, that we might grow more and more like you, that we might see the world and its people with the same loving care that you do. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.